Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yesterday, a lot of United States House members asked questions of Robert Mueller. They did this because it's constitutional. Article 1, Section 1 of the U.S. Constitution gives Congress the right of oversight, which includes investigations, subpoenas, the whole nine. One of those astute individuals, our very own, Congressman Hank Johnson on the Judiciary Committee, amongst others. Congressman Johnson, how are you?
I'm doing great, sir. Good to be with you today.
Good to have you. I know you're still in D.C. I know you're in the middle of Judiciary Committee meetings and hearings today, so thank you for taking a moment to opine on the investigation and on the testimony yesterday. So let me just get your thoughts on what happened yesterday with the inquiry.
Well, Rashad, thanks for having me on. Yesterday, I believe Bob Mueller put forth a compelling message about the illegal acts of President Trump that rise to the level of high crimes. He committed felonies. That's what the testimony showed yesterday. He committed the offense of obstructing justice, and he also tampered with witnesses, and he tried to get people to lie and cover up for him. That's what came out yesterday, and also the fact that if it had been anyone else who had had been investigated, they would have been indicted and charged. But Mueller did not do that because of the Justice Department guideline that you can't indict a sitting president. But anybody else who had done what he did would have been indicted. And I think those were the takeaways from yesterday's testimony.
Congressman Johnson, you know I'm a researcher. You've known me for many years. And I have researched that DOJ policy, which was written in 1973. I do have more context for that policy than I had at first mention. And according to my research, that policy was written basically to save Nixon and to not put his Department of Justice in a position to prosecute him personally. Congress took it up, but at no point is it in the Constitution that it cannot actually happen. This is a departmental policy.
It's just a policy.
It is just a policy. Why are people still saying, including Mueller, why are people saying it's unconstitutional when the Constitution doesn't speak to it explicitly?
Well, you know, he's entitled to his opinion.
Sure.
I believe differently. I think that no person is above the law in this country, including the president. Since that legal opinion has come out from the Justice Department, there has been a case that went up to the U.S. Supreme Court. It was the Paula Jones case against President Clinton.
Right.
And the court ruled that in that civil case, that case could proceed. And I think that that opinion serves as some precedent for any case that would reach the Supreme Court about the ability of the federal government or states, for that matter, a state prosecution of a sitting president.
Right.
That's a case that has not been decided by the U.S. Supreme Court yet, and I think it's time that that we bring some a conclusion to that Justice Department guideline, because it handcuffs prosecutors who work for the Justice
it does.
Department.
It does. And I have a lot of respect for your legal opinion, because not only are you a current U.S. congressman, you are a trained attorney. You're a former judge as well. You used to be a judge in DeKalb County. Let me break it down the way I've seen this whole thing. I know, and I learned in civics class that we have co-equal branches of government. We have the legislative, which is Congress. That's you guys. We have the judiciary, which are our federal courts. And we have the executive, which is the president. Okay? Now, three co-equal branches of government, according to the framers of the U.S. Constitution. In other words, they never wanted anyone to be king. They were trying to flee a kingship monarchy. They never wanted kingship. Nobody above the law. Three co-equal branches. Well, here's the simple reality, Congressman. You can be indicted. A federal judge can be indicted. Why can't the co-equal branch of the executive be indicted if you're actually co-equal? That's what I don't understand here.
Well, that's a strong argument against the DOJ policy that Mueller is following in lockstep. And I think it's hurtful to our republic. It's not in the best interest of democracy. And as you say, we are in a co-equal branch of government environment. And when you shield the president, that gives him an advantage.
Right.
That gives him an advantage to do wrongdoing with impunity. And guess what? The statute of limitations continues to run.
Yeah. So
if he gets elected for a second term,
it runs out because it's 5 years, correct?
That's correct in most criminal offenses. And so that places the position of president in the position of being a king. And
right.
That's certainly not what our framers intended.
Are you all going to do an impeachment inquiry of President Trump? Have you made your mind up as far as impeachment investigation or inquiry is concerned?
Well, I think yesterday's hearing inches us closer to that possibility. I think we're not ready for an impeachment resolution
right.
to be brought to the House of Representatives, because the only thing we have to base it on is the Mueller report. And, and that's a compelling report, but it's simply a roadmap. We need to go out and acquire the evidence that Mueller acquired. We need to interview on live TV in a hearing under oath the fact witnesses,
right.
like Don McGahn, who was quite honest with the special counsel. We need to have him in to testify. Now, we've got him under subpoena. He refused to come in. So we're because of President Trump's order that he disobey our subpoena. And so we're having to go to court to enforce that subpoena.
When are you guys going to start locking people up, Congressman? I don't mean to interrupt, but you can lock people up. You can order the sergeant at arms, according to a previous ruling of the U.S. Supreme Court, to go and lock people up who ignore federal subpoena. Why not do that? Because Trump will lock you all up.
We do have inherent authority to hold individuals in contempt for violating our process. And that is a process that we may use at some point in the future. But
okay.
for right now, we are choosing to proceed with through the courts. That is the most certain way
right.
that we will get what we need. But in civil contempt, of course, there's some limitations on how long you can hold a person and how much you can fine them,
sure.
that kind of thing. And you still are not getting the information that you need.
Right.
So we need the heft of a federal court order and the criminal contempt that can ensue from disobedience of a court order to force these witnesses in here to testify. So we got to get the... We're not ready to impeach until we have a record that we're ready to impeach on, and then take that impeachment to the Senate for a trial.
Right, which the Senate would then have to remove.
Yeah, we lay out the evidence to the Senate. The Chief Justice acts as the judge. The Senate acts as a jury. After hearing the evidence, they make a decision, and it's not a... majority decision, it's a two-thirds majority
Correct.
Decision.
Yeah.
And so right now we don't have the evidence, nor do we have the likelihood of prevailing in a conviction and removal in the Senate. So
and you don't have public sentiment yet either, which I think will change over time.
I think so. I think we started that process yesterday.
I agree. Congressman, I know you got to get back to your Judiciary Committee. Brother, it means the world to us that you would take time to make sure you inform the public on what's really going on in D.C. And, Congressman, we thank you for the righteous fight and for all of the questions from yesterday.
Well, thank you. It's important that the people know. I appreciate you enabling me to let the people of Atlanta and of Georgia and all of the people on your who are streaming in.
Yes.
I appreciate you allowing me to come in and tell the world what's happening.
Thank you, Congressman Johnson. We'll talk very soon, my friend.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Congressman Hank Johnson, he says they are being methodical. You're getting real with the Realest Man on Radio. News and Talk, 1380 WAOK.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.